This is Intersection. I'm Janet Saidi. The Americans with Disabilities Act was passed nearly 29 years ago, seeking to ensure that Americans with varying degrees of ability have more equal access to services and opportunities. But 29 years later, what is it like to navigate the world when you experience it differently? KBIA producer Cassidy Arena specifically wanted to explore what it's like to navigate the world of the hearing when you have experienced hearing loss. Here's Cassidy.
I found out I couldn't hear in the first grade, and I grew up trying to figure out how my hearing loss fit into my life. Some people may think it's odd, but I found my place in radio. My next step is figuring out how to make the medium I love more accessible for people like me. And I'll start by bringing this conversation to the table. I spoke with Hard of Hearing student John Coleman and Angela Branson, the MU coordinator for Deaf and Hard of Hearing students. Thank you for joining me and enjoy the conversation. So, hi everybody. Thanks for coming, Angela, John. I'm sure that you kind of got yourself a little bit familiar with the topic today, which is deafness and hard of hearing. So I guess first we're just going to kind of start with, what's your familiarity with deafness or hard of hearing? John, I guess we'll start with you. How were you introduced to your hearing loss?
My introduction to hearing loss was I lost my hearing. So I had a pretty, like, blunt introduction, but, like, at the time, I didn't really know what was going on. I wasn't really aware of, like deaf or hard of hearing people, because, like, the community I grew up in was pretty hearing. But after, like, losing my hearing, I kind of, like, understood that concept of, like, disability and, like, hearing loss, and then kind of tried to familiarize myself with it. So I guess that's kind of, like, my introduction.
And how old were you when that was happening?
I lost my hearing around 3 years old, and it was really weird. Like, it was literally, I could hear one moment, and then I couldn't the next. It was, like, literally, like, a snap of a finger, and so it's really weird how that happened, but it's not something I really, like, feel bad about, I guess. Yeah. It's kind of interesting.
And, Angela, so you are, can you just talk about your title and then kind of what brought you to do that job?
So I'm the Deaf Services Coordinator at the University of Missouri. I'm also a certified and licensed sign language interpreter. I've been an interpreter in Missouri for 18 years. I've interpreted everything from kindergarten to job training to psych hospitals to everything, concerts, you know. So I've been kind of involved on the fringes of the deaf and hard of hearing community for a really long time. And I guess what kind of drew me to that was learning sign language on Sesame Street as a little kid. You know, they teach you A, B, C, just the simple finger spelling, hand-shaped. And I took a class after I graduated from college and have been doing stuff like this ever since.
And while we're on the topic, really fast, just for our listeners, Angela, I think you're actually one of the best people to talk about this, but what is the biggest difference between deafness and hard of hearing?
So it's quite the broad spectrum, and hearing loss is very individual. So just looking at an audiogram, it shows what you can hear and what you can't, what your brain processes, what it doesn't. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to comprehend, understand, or discern that sound very well. So you'll have some people that I may consider hard of hearing that use sign language to communicate, or you might have a person who really can't hear anything at all who reads lips and speaks very well for themselves. So that line is very blurry, and assumptions by other people, I think, make it even blurrier. But a lot of times hearing loss is categorized as mild, moderate, severe, profound. That's kind of how it's looked at.
And John, before we kind of started recording, you and I were just talking about our different hearing losses. We're both considered hard of hearing, but yet we're completely different in what our hard of hearing entails. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your hearing loss.
Yeah, so I have what's called sensory neural bilateral hearing loss. So what that basically means is the neurons in my brain are, like, firing, but they're not firing at the correct rate, or they're not firing at all. So my ear isn't being, like, stimulated, so it's not conducting the sound. And the bilateral part is basically my hearing will tend to switch from like left or right side, tending to favor one of the others. And it happens like sporadically. So there might be like days or months or like entire years where like I'll hear really well on like my left or right ear, but then like it could quickly change to the other ear.
Interesting. And how are you kind of getting your balance here with that kind of hearing loss?
I think for me, just really being like aware of it and trying to understand like, okay, is it because I might be like congested, or is it like, oh, I'm really hearing better out of this ear over the other, and maybe I need to like boost up my hearing aid on this side or just be more aware of it and stuff like that.
So John's hearing loss is kind of more caused by nerves, right, in the brain. Whereas my hearing loss is very physical. When I was younger, I got tubes, and then the tubes just didn't let my ears heal, hence leaving a hole in the eardrum. Is that something that you're more familiar with for the hearing loss community?
There's a lot of structural issues that can cause hearing loss. A lot of students have had spinal meningitis. That's a leading cause of the students that I've had. People that are born hearing, but then they get sick. So spinal meningitis, I think it's actually the medication that they use and not the actual disease. Or a lot of people more my age, their mother had German measles when they were pregnant. And so that's where a lot of people became deaf. But that tends to be older folks. It can be things like maybe a mother that takes drugs when she's pregnant. That can also cause hearing loss in the child. But like, you know, the leading cause of deafness is unknown. It can be genetic. It can be, you know, environmental. It can be structural. So all kinds of reasons.
So, John, you had mentioned that you're quote unknown hearing loss. That doesn't frustrate you at all?
I mean, there's some days where it frustrates me. Like I know when I was little, and I think a lot of like deaf or hard of hearing kids had that same kind of feeling. It's not really, I wouldn't say it's fun living with a disability or having hearing loss or being deaf, because it is kind of like an isolating factor socially. So when I was younger, like I was obviously like frustrated. I hated being like the only kid with like hearing aids and like only seeing like other people who could like hear normally. People would like kind of avoid me because they thought I was going to get them sick. And I didn't really like having to like bring like an FM to class and like help teachers figure out how to use it, or like constantly like worry about, oh, are my hearing aid batteries going to die? So that was a little frustrating. I think as I kind of like grew up, I kind of like accepted that it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just something I kind of have to live with, but it's not like something entirely detrimental. Like I realized, oh, I can still do a lot of things like normal able-bodied people do. I just have to make sure I can hear and like stuff like that. I think for a lot of deaf and hard of hearing kids, or I guess for me, just kind of like coming to terms and like accepting that part of me was just kind of like learning more about like the deaf community, like where I fell in that, and like educating myself on like my hearing loss and like that kind of stuff.
For me, a big part of that was actually coming to college. You talked about the hearing aid batteries. I used to take my hearing aid into the bathroom to change the batteries because I didn't want anybody to see that. I used to wear my hair down. I have long hair as opposed to you. I guess they're always visual or visible. But I used to, like I said, go into the bathroom and change them. And then when I actually came to college, that's when I realized, oh, this is not something that makes me different. There's a whole community here on campus, whereas when I grew up, I was the only kid that ever had to deal with that. And I was the only kid with a microphone that I would give teachers so that I could hear them better. So that kind of leads us into, what are the biggest misconceptions that the hearing community has for deaf or hard of hearing people?
I think there are a lot of misconceptions. I think Angela briefly touched on it, how deafness and hard of hearing is like, she said, a huge spectrum. A lot of people assume that like I'm deaf because I wear hearing aids, but when they hear me speak, they're like, oh, you don't sound deaf. And I'm always in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, what should I sound like? Should I be using sign language? Stuff like that. So I think one, I guess, common misconception is that, like, having, like, an implant or hearing aids, people automatically assume that you must know sign language or that you don't speak. And that can be a little frustrating. I kind of play along with it. I know, like, enough sign language, so if my hearing aids do die, I just go along with it and I do sign. And then, like, when the people are getting, like, kind of stressed, they're like, oh, no, how do I talk to this person? I'm like, oh, no, I'm just joking. I can hear. I mean in that regard, but I think that's one misconception, just, like, all deaf and hard of hearing people must know sign language. And maybe that's true to an extent. I think a lot of people who have hearing loss kind of do like to learn a little bit of sign language, just, like, maybe interact with, like, the deaf community more, or just... if it's like an emergency and they can't hear and know and they don't know how they're being heard, signing can help.
This is Intersection. I'm Janet Saidi. Today we're listening in on a conversation hosted by KBIA producer Cassidy Arena. Cassidy is talking with guests Angela Branson and John Coleman about navigating the hearing world as someone who is hard of hearing. Cassidy herself has hearing loss and wants to make radio more accessible. You can find more on this conversation at kbia.org. Now, back to the conversation with Cassidy, Angela, and John.
And Angela, what do you do to reach out to the hearing community to kind of combat these misconceptions?
It's interesting because one of my roles is as a sign language interpreter on campus, so I interact with a lot of faculty and staff, and a lot of times I'll reach out ahead of the semester and just explain, hey, there's going to be a sign language interpreter in your class, or there's going to be a student in your class that uses captioning or whatever it may be. But I still, even after 18 years, I get surprised at the questions that I get. You know, I still get the, can deaf people drive question, which should be not asked anymore. Like, you know.
I had that question asked to me when I was taking my driver's test. They're like, are you going to be able to drive? And I said, I'm like, I can drive. I just can't hear that well. So you might need to repeat things for me. And they're like, oh, okay. I thought it was the first time I had heard that question. One question that I got asked that was really weird was, do you know Braille? And I was like, I'm not blind.
And I've seen that happen, you know, somebody go up to the counter at McDonald's and start signing, and the person behind the counter gets really excited, and they run back, and they get the Braille menu out.
Oh, no.
It's like, yeah. No, like, they can just point, you know. But our students on campus, I think they do really well. They adjust really well. You know, the students who maybe don't communicate as well with hearing people, you know, at the line at Starbucks, how do you, you know, order there, you know?
I actually had that. I was really lucky. There was a student who, I guess, took the ASL course here. I didn't have my hearing aids in. And, like, my voice was, like, really dry. And so I just, like, typed out my order and, like, signed. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough that they, like, were able to sign. I could see that, like, getting so excited. Like, I get to use sign language. But, yeah, that's, like, one thing I've noticed. Like, it kind of can be weird, like, ordering things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, life on campus can be kind of isolating for students who do just use sign language. You know, I've had students live in the dorms and not be able to communicate fabulously with their roommate, or live in a sorority house. You know, and I think there are challenges no matter if you sign or you don't. I've had students with cochlear implants who have kind of issues with those as well, as far as, you know, what they sound like when it's not on, or wearing it all the time or not wearing it all the time, that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, I myself kind of experience a little bit of isolation with the sign language. I don't sign. I know very basics, just like a lot of people can count to five in Spanish. And so it was actually in a group message, and somebody wanted somebody who could sign. And so somebody else responded to her and said, well, Cassidy can probably sign. And I was like, oh, no, I cannot. So I think that that's one of the biggest things that is a little bit misunderstood, that just because I wear a hearing aid doesn't mean I know how to sign. That doesn't mean that's my number one way to communicate. Well, and one of my favorite questions, too, is why do you wear a hearing aid? Oh, because I can't smell. That's usually my answer.
Yeah.
Just because it's funny.
I just say that they're like knockoff AirPods now. Because people have asked me, they're like, oh, are those like knockoff AirPods? I'm like, yep.
I see those in people's ears and I'm like, deaf person. No.
Yeah. So before we move on too far, how are campus administration and organizations working to improve the experience for deaf students or hard of hearing students and staff?
So one thing we're trying to do at the Disability Center, and we have a digital accessibility policy and all these kinds of things, but really the main thing about it is captioning. We want faculty and staff to caption. You know, digital stuff is great, but if it's not captioned, you're missing out on a big part of the student population who can, you know, get use out of that. And captioning benefits a lot of people, you know, yeah. Older folks as well as students who have English as a second language. So captioning, they've done studies, captioning really does help. So we really try to kind of push the captioning because it just does benefit so many people.
Yeah, I use captioning and I think it's really beneficial. Like, they're like, it's great for like lectures where there's a lot of people. I know for like, I'm in an online course, like not everything's captioned, but the stuff that is captioned, it's so much easier to like understand. I'm not like turning up my volume to like hear it. And yeah, I think captioning's like the big thing for me. I know Mizzou's Disability Coalition is really trying to push for graduation to be captioned and making sure that captioning needs are being met along with like a bunch of other accessibility needs for students.
This is Intersection. I'm Janet Saidi today. Producer Cassidy Arena is talking with guests Angela Branson and John Coleman about navigating the hearing world as someone who is deaf or hard of hearing. Cassidy herself has experienced hearing loss and wanted to explore the experiences and issues for this episode of Intersection. You can find more on this conversation at kbia.org.
So how are you navigating between this world of hard of hearing community or deaf community and the hearing community?
For me, it's just kind of like making sure that like, one, my accommodations are being met and that two, people understand like what my hearing loss kind of entails and like how they should like interact with me. For me, kind of like I grew up more in a hearing community, so I never really had much experience with deaf or hard of hearing kids outside of a baseball camp that I went to over the summer, where there was like tons of hard of hearing deaf kids, and that was like my first exposure to that. And so I kind of understood like, oh, okay, there's this huge spectrum and like I'm not the only one. And I think it's different on Mizzou's campus because I do see students with like implants or like a hearing aid, and my first instinct is like, oh my gosh, someone like me. But then I realized, oh, I can't just go up to them and be like, oh my gosh, you're like me. Let's be friends.
I saw a little boy trick-or-treating once in the Greek campus, and he was wearing hearing aids, and I was like, oh my gosh! And I went up to him and showed him mine, and he was very excited. But yeah. I guess I can't do that to a college-aged person. Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about ASL. John, you and I both have hearing loss, and I don't sign, and you do. So how important is learning ASL?
I should preface it like, I don't sign fluently. For me, learning sign language was just kind of like a way to, one, like kind of understand like deaf culture and like be able to communicate with deaf people more. Like I can maybe have like a really simple conversation, but like if someone who is actually deaf and only sign came up to me, I would probably be stuck using like broken like grammar and like finger spelling. I definitely think knowing ASL is like beneficial. If you're like a hard of hearing or deaf person, just because it can kind of connect you more with that community. And I think it's also like a beneficial thing for hearing people to know, even if it's just like the alphabet so you can finger spell things. But I wouldn't say it's like a necessity. I think it only becomes a necessity if you really need it.
I've seen students on this campus who came with a hearing loss, not knowing any sign language, and then through different things, maybe taking ASL as their foreign language, they've really gotten a little bit more proficiency using sign language, and I think it's really benefited a lot of them. I have a student who recently got her master's in child life, and her sign language ability has really gotten better through her years here. And so she's hoping to work a lot with children who are deaf or hard of hearing and be able to directly communicate with them, even though, you know, when she got to this campus, her, you know, signing skills maybe weren't fabulous, but they've really gotten better. So I think it can be useful to directly communicate with this community that you've kind of always been on the fringes of, you know.
And so we talked a little bit about deaf culture. What is it to you?
I think deaf culture, just, I mean, not being deaf or hard of hearing, deaf culture is very important to the folks that have grown up, you know, capital D deaf is what we say. Maybe they went to a state school for the deaf. Maybe they went to Gallaudet University or Rochester Institute in Rochester, New York, NTID. You know, it's people that speak your language. I mean, that's important for any culture. And I think there's strong ties there. It's different. And I think sometimes hearing people, we're so used to being polite and civil, it kind of takes us aback because, you know, sometimes deaf people can be very blunt. But that's just the way it is, you know, and it's, I don't know. I think it's, deaf culture is beautiful for the, you know, small percentage of folks that are in there.
Yeah, there's a really good documentary that was on Netflix called See What I'm Saying, and I forget who in the documentary mentioned it, but they mentioned that, like, deaf people kind of view themselves in, like, a separate world. So there's, like, the hearing world and the deaf world, and that deaf world, it becomes, like, a really small kind of community once you are in it, and it can also become, like, a really homogenized community too, depending on who you speak to. I know for me growing up, when I was learning about my deafness, there's a little kind of like identity crisis because there's some deaf people who only sign, they don't wear hearing aids or implants, and that's like a choice for them. Like, they don't view their deafness as like a disability or anything that hinders them. They view it as something that makes them part of this special community. And I think that's a really good way of viewing, like, deafness and disability in general, not as something that hinders you. It makes you part of a community and can bring you closer together. And then there are people who advocate for speaking over signing and having implants or hearing aids, and that can cause, like, huge divides. And so I think deaf culture is essentially kind of what group in the deaf community you fall in. Like, for me, I know if I went to, like, Gallaudet, for example, there might be students there who would say, oh, you're not deaf. And I applied to Gallaudet, but that was one of the reasons I didn't go, because one, I didn't want to learn sign language just to attend lectures, but I didn't want to have to kind of face some of that stigma that might come with not being capital D deaf. But I also think, like, deaf culture is really interesting from, like, a historical perspective. I remember there was this book I read, I forget what, but it basically talked about, like, deaf history and, like, some of the prejudice that came with sign language, how early schools for the deaf didn't allow sign language. It was like they tie students' wrists together to prevent them from signing, or put little bells so if they did sign, the teachers would be like, no, speak. Or, like, silent movies. A lot of silent movies were big for deaf people when they came out because it was the first time they could go out in public and enjoy, like, a movie. But once those went away, they didn't have that kind of same luxury. And I think it's really interesting looking at, like, deaf culture from, like, a historical perspective. Because usually when you think about it, a lot of people think, oh, if a deaf person can speak, that's, like, great. But sometimes it's not always by choice, or it's something that they realize separates them from their community. Or it's like, oh, this movie's captioned, but at the same time, that movie might not be totally accessible. I know when I go to movies, none of them are captioned. I don't use the hearing assisted device they have because I don't know where it is, and it looks like more of a burden to, like, set up the news. But, like, I think deaf culture is really just interesting from, like, a community aspect.
So just to wrap things up, how is the overall hearing community, how are they and it becoming more aware of the needs of deaf and hard of hearing people that you have experienced?
I think there's more of an awareness kind of out there. And then every time we see something in pop culture, you know, that has a deaf person in a movie or
Switched at Birth. Oh, yeah. I was so excited.
Yeah. Or you know, some of the new movies that are coming out that actually use deaf actresses, you know, those are like kind of waves that help the awareness, you know, kind of go on. And in the bigger cities, there's more and more just accessibility on, people are getting it slowly, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely think goes along with like just kind of exposure. I know for me, like my first time knowing that there's like popular like deaf people was like Marley Matlin, and like she's not someone who I can directly relate with, but when Switched at Birth came out, I was like, oh my god, there's like someone almost my age on TV. And I definitely think like seeing deafness represented in a positive light on like TV, social media, anyway, definitely raises awareness. And I definitely think like I went to the ASL mm-hmm. here, and the speaker there, I definitely agreed with her point. It's like hearing people are like drawn to like a moth to a light when it comes to learning sign language, because like it is kind of like this fun thing to know. But I definitely think just raising awareness of that. I definitely think like advocacy. I know Mizzou's Disability Coalition, along with the Disability Center, just kind of educating students on like what being deaf means, or like what it's like, and like how to interact with like the deaf people and community on campus, definitely helps like spread awareness and like reduce stigma, or like avoid questions like, can you drive? Do you need Braille? Or do you know sign language?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the community overall is doing a much better job at not even just making deafness and hard of hearing more positive, but just more accepted and normal, a normal part of life. Some people have it, some people don't. Some people are brunette, some people are blonde. I guess that will wrap up our Intersection program for today. Thank you so much for joining us on Intersection.
It's a message I'm acknowledging. Just stand up, listen, start following.
That's it for this week's Intersection. That was producer Cassidy Arena who hosted this Intersection. Cassidy spoke with guests Angela Branson and John Coleman. This Intersection program was produced and hosted by Cassidy Arena. Intersection's producers are also Mitch Legan, Aviva Okeson-Haberman, Noah Taborda, and me, Janet Saidi. We're going out with music by deaf musician Sean Forbes. You can see more on this song and more on this conversation at kbia.org. Thanks for listening. I'd rather not hear, rather not listen. I'm the perfect imperfection, never restricted. Uh-huh, huh. Deafer than that, Jim, I'm so, so deaf. Deafer than that, dumber, unbreakable, don't deaf. I got deaf tones, but I'm not tone deaf. I stop stating the obvious, but I don't yet. Deafer than that, Jim, I'm so, so deaf. Deafer than that, dumber, unbreakable, don't deaf. I got deaf tones, but I'm not tone deaf. I stop stating the obvious, but I don't yet. Thank you.